presents the Geekatorium 27 Hour Podcast Challenge. On Raising Money for Comic Relief. Donate now by going to my.rednoseday.com/sponsor/Geekatorium27podcast. FUBAR and Geekatorium, doing something stupid for a very good cause.
Thank you. tender is the night, lying by your side. Tender is the touch of someone that you love too much. Tender is the day the demons go away. Lord, I need to find someone who can heal my mind. Come on, come on.
presents the Geekatorium 27-Hour Podcast Challenge, raising money for comic relief. Donate now by going to my.rednoseday.com/sponsor/Geekatorium27podcast. FUBAR and Geekatorium, doing something stupid for a very good cause.
11 minutes past 7, this is FUBAR Radio and the Comic Relief Geekatorium Challenge Podcast 27 Podcast Challenge for Comic Relief presented by FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
I am Paul Gannon, and with me
is he nice Helverman.
Oh,
I'm still here.
You are still
here. I haven't forsaken you.
You haven't, mate. You've been a godsend. You've been my rock.
I'll tell you something.
Go on.
The coffee stopped working.
Well, after all, I think you've maxed out the caffeine. That's what it is. You can't get any more caffeine in you.
Caffeinated. I can't be more caffeinated.
No. That's the problem with coffee. You reach a plateau at one point.
You're just maintaining it.
That's why you have to pass out your caffeine intake over the course of the 27 hours, which is, you know,
not even halfway done.
No, it's not even halfway done.
It's not even halfway done.
No.
We were going to do stuff, weren't we?
What, like?
I don't know. We could listen to the recordings I made earlier.
Did you actually make any recordings?
Yes.
Of what?
Me, ghost hunting.
Did you record anything?
Yes. Why do you think I... What? No. Yes. Yes, I did.
I just think you weren't out long enough to record anything.
I recorded a small piece.
Yeah.
It's not very good. What? I mean, what else have we got here?
Well, we can look at the morning news and we'll talk about it.
All right, fine.
So we'll have some light look at the news.
Good morning. Go fuck yourself.
So, first news story. Russian politician Nemtsov shot dead. Where'd you stand on that?
Oh, I don't know. It's depressing.
Well, he's dead anyway. UK must prepare for Russian threat.
Oh, fucking hell. That's really, really depressing.
This is what it says. Russia has become a danger to Britain and the country must be prepared to take steps to defend itself and its allies, the former head of MI6 says. Former? It means you were shit at your job. You don't have it anymore. So why should we believe you? Other than your vast years of experience and knowledge of the backdoor political regimes that go on. Is that too depressing?
It really is fucking depressing. Well, it's Armageddon.
This will cheer you up then. First time home buyers can get a 20% discount now on homes.
I still can't afford one.
So that's depressing as well. Okay, so Leonard Nimoy's dead. We've covered that. It's sad.
What about that blue dress thing? The dress thing? Is that...
No, that's not... There's Cliff Richard's lawyers criticising MPs because Cliff Richard's now been, you know, wrapped in with the whole naughty, naughty, shush, shush, don't tell the father kind of behaviour.
Yeah.
I mean, the thing is, we just... Yeah, I know. We can't say one way or the other if he's guilty. I like to step back from those news stories and basically say, innocent till proven guilty.
Yeah.
I believed about... I stood by that through the Savile trial. I stood by
that... There was no Savile trial.
No, there wasn't.
What are you talking about?
I got through that for the glitter. I was always on his side until...
You were always on glitter's side. This is getting really bad now.
All right, okay, we'll move on. The extremist known as Jihadi John said he received anger therapy. Which is putting it fine. You know, it's putting it likely to say he had anger therapy at secondary school for getting into fights. Every kid does that.
A lot of kids do. Kid who gets anger therapy goes on to be...
No, exactly. I mean, come on, they're all stuff we did in our youth. That wouldn't reflect well on, you know, you now.
Mate, if I went jihadi, they'd go, he ate worms. He ate worms.
Do you think that would make you much of a threat?
It wouldn't make me a threat, but no. They'd say, yeah, he had anger issues.
All right, okay, cool. All right, well, then let's check the entertainment news, because that's always a bit more upbeat, isn't it?
Yeah, top story entertainment news, Leonard Nimoy
dies.
He's
dead,
yeah.
And then the next one below that is Robin Williams' daughter speaks out.
God, what, saying what?
Zelda Williams said there's no point in seeking any explanation for why the comedian took his own life. Fair enough. Harrison Ford back for what film, do you think? What do you think ends that sentence?
Blade
Harrison
Runner
Ford.
2.
For what?
Blade Runner 2.
Yeah, exactly that.
I saw that story.
Oh, really? There's a picture of him on the website that literally is not the most flattering picture I could have picked for. If I was going to pick a picture, I'd pick one that didn't make him look like he was having a private groin moment. It's like literally the face. Look at his face. That's the I came too soon, I'm sorry no, look,
it's
isn't
really,
it?
It's in, like the moment of septuagenarian orgasm.
What's this? So Harrison Ford will reprise his role as police officer Rick Deckard in the forthcoming Blade Runner sequel. Where do you stand on that, though? Sequels to films that are seminal, that are standalone and important.
I don't think they should make it.
Because it's interesting, isn't it? It's like, when a film is good and it stands alone, it kind of feels like... if, for instance, it's the same thing that if they announced 20 years after Casablanca that Bogart was coming back to do Casablanca, it wouldn't be the same thing. It would just be of its... So, there's someone called Denis Villeneuve is directing this, not Ridley Scott.
No, Ridley Scott would do well to steer clear of that. He's in directing awful historical epics.
He just directs stuff that looks amazing but sounds stupid. You know, because he was saying, it's hard to get a film financed, so that's why I had to cast, you know, white Western people as...
In Exodus.
Yeah. And it's like, well, then don't make a really expensive movie.
Don't
and
make
tell,
the fucking film.
Tell the story innocently.
He could make any film he fucking wanted.
Of course he could. Unfortunately, most of the films he wants to make are crap. I didn't like Prometheus.
No, I didn't either.
Prometheus was like... I don't want to go overboard and say it was like The Phantom Menace, but it was one of those things where...
It was
where,
a bit like that.
A little bit, because there was a lot of interest and there was a lot of intrigue about it, and, you know, the trailers made it look like it was a brotherly kind of a companion piece to the Alien films. And so you thought, this is great. He's going back to that universe. And he got there, and it was like, oh, he doesn't care about the Alien universe, and he makes pointless changes. And it was dumb. Every character in that script was dumb.
Yeah, stupid.
It's like, hi, I'm a biologist that, you know, studies new life forms. That's
and
my
I've got coochie coochie coo to a dangerous snake looking
right
thing.
Yeah, he gets a fart whisper in front of this weird alien snake phallic
and
monster
goes, coochie,
thing.
Coochie coochie.
And then gets killed for his stupidity, and you think, good. Good.
I didn't think good.
I thought good. And then there was that other guy, you know, the boyfriend who was dating the lead archaeologist. Yeah. And he was just a massive cockend all the way through that film until he died. And I was like, good.
I think someone's texting you.
No, no one's.
I think it might be Ridley Scott.
Ridley Scott. Let me just check my phone, see if that's... I've got an email. All right, okay, cool. Yeah, it's Ridley Scott.
What does he say? I'll hunt you.
I'll read it out to you. Me, I'm angry. Ridley Scott, good film, make. Don't be mean. Me, make mill film now. Bite it.
All right.
Gannon, you dead.
You dead.
Yeah, so that was his email to me. And I've also had comedian Rob Deb tag us on Facebook, and his message says, morning, time to listen to FUBAR with Paul Gannon, Eli Silverman at crematorium show. I don't know if he's made a mistake there or he's being mean.
He's being funny.
Mr. Deb.
Deb being funny.
He's a funny one, isn't
Deb
he?
Deb be funny.
Deb be good to me. Dum 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 dum.
Right, it's really gone too far. People always talk about me, a loser.
All right, so let's go back to Blade Runner, right? Okay, so the cool 1982 film. 82. It's a good year for sci-fi, 82.
What else came out?
Wrath of Khan, E.T.
Wrath of Khan.
Starman,
really,
I think. Wrath of Khan's a wicked film, mate. It is. It's, regardless of it being Star Trek, it's a wicked film, Wrath of Khan. It is. What I mean, it all depends largely on if you like Star Trek. But considering the first film was 2 hours worth of fan wank shots of the Enterprise in gloriously slow motion, this was a dramatic change of pace.
Yeah, it had some
bits in. Do you know who directed
The Empire Strikes Back of the...
What, the first one?
No, the second, no. The Wrath of Khan is.
Yeah.
The Empire Strikes Back of the Star Trek films.
Oh, here's something promising. Then the latest installment of Blade Runner, reportedly based on an idea from Scott, who, just for the record, came up with the idea for Prometheus,
yes.
You know, and then farmed it out to someone else to write. This script is going to be written by Hampton Francher, who co-wrote the original screenplay. So at least, you know, the touching base with the original writers, yeah, that's good. In fact, I think it was the original writers of Blade Runner who went on to write the script for 12 Monkeys. So there's you know, there's precedent there. And he's being joined on this screenplay adventure by a guy called Michael Green, who I don't know the work of. There's a thing here. We are honoured that Harrison is joining us on this journey that isn't a paycheck and artistically, culturally bereft.
He doesn't need money, does he?
He doesn't really need to act now. He might need a change of underwear every now and then, a bit more often than he used to. Seepage.
Oh, God.
It's true, he's an old man.
He's not that old.
He's 72.
Yeah, he's elderly.
It's old enough. I mean, look, I'm not being an ageist. I'm thinking, you know, he's more than allowed to be 72.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they're all excited. Hampton and Michael, with Sir Ridley Scott, have crafted a uniquely potent and faithful sequel to one of the most universally celebrated films of all time. And we couldn't be more amazed and thrilled with this creative team. This marks the third time that Ford has returned to an iconic role. The third time? In 2008, he returned to Indiana Jones. Oh, yeah, and then Han Solo. So he's just basically going for the motions of his old roles.
Well,
what did you think of Indiana Jones 4?
I fucking hated it.
Why did you hate it? And this is not because I'm like, you're wrong. I want to know why you didn't like it.
It was fucking boring.
Yeah, I'll give you that.
The CG was unconvincing.
I think the first half of that film
was all right.
It's great.
The first half was better.
And I think when they get to the jungle,
it got boring.
It goes downhill so quickly.
I didn't give a shit after that. I really didn't. I mean, I didn't give much of a shit at the beginning, but fucking hell.
Because you know the thing about Indiana Jones films is, apart from Temple of Doom, Raiders and Last Crusade hit very familiar beats. I mean, structurally, they're very similar films from beginning to end. And so in Raiders, you have the famous scene where he takes out all the Nazis on that truck and rescues the Ark. And it's a great bit of stunt work as he's rolling through and round the truck to fight his way through and get control. And then in Last Crusade, there's that excellent scene where there's a fight on top of the tank with the main Nazi and all that stuff.
Yeah, that's
great.
Good, yeah.
And in the fourth one, they tried to recreate that with the whole truck driving adventure through the Amazon. I can't remember where it was now. The difference is that when you watch Raiders and when you watch Last Crusade, those stunts are real. They're there. There are people hanging off that tank, hanging off that car.
Yeah.
Fast forward to Crystal Skull. Everything from top to bottom about that sequence is CGI'd.
Yeah.
You know, because they can't. They said they tried to keep it as, you know, as novel, as close to the original, how they made it as possible. Well, you can't not look at that jungle scene and just go CGI grass, CGI
tree.
That's
what I mean, yeah.
And it doesn't seem real. When you know that they're on a green screen soundstage pretending to drive a truck that nudges each other, you don't have the same visceral impact of actually seeing Harrison Ford dangle off the side of a tank.
I know, but he can't dangle anymore, can he? It's too old.
The thing is, the opening scene that everyone complains about, the fridge scene, up until that, he's great in that role playing Indiana Jones again. That fight with the Russian in the silo and the fight, all that's wicked. The Area 51 stuff. And then and then it all gets a little bit odd with the fridge thing, which I have never had a problem with, considering how utterly ridiculous other things have been in Indiana Jones. It's like, okay, you mock him for surviving a nuclear blast in a fridge, which scientists have proven that apart from the speed of the projectile of the fridge blasting out the zone, he could have survived.
Yeah,
he could have survived. He might have had radiation sickness, but he would have survived it. He might have not gone that fast and travelled out of the way of the blast zone. That's fine. However, there is that scene in Temple of Doom where he jumps out of a plane with a dinghy, inflates it, floats happily down onto a mountainside.
And also there's a scene where the guy rips the guy's heart out.
Yeah, and the guy's still alive.
Through his chest bone.
He's still alive as well.
And the guy's still alive.
I mean, oh, Mom Shiva.
I'm Nom Shiva.
I don't like Temple of Doom.
I know, you've told me.
I think it's a well-made film. I just think it's distasteful. That leaves a bad taste in the mouth.
That's the same thing, distasteful.
Yeah,
uh-oh, there's some action.
What kind of action? Rumpy, pumpy sex action?
There's someone trying to come in the studio.
I don't think there was.
No.
I think we're at that point where we're hallucinating actual happenings.
We're at that point where we wish someone would come in. I wish someone would come in.
I see Adam. I reckon we should rope Adam in for a bit. Do you want to come in, Adam? Yay, Adam. Adam is one of the producers here at FUBAR, and also he co-presents a show with Claire, who's coming in later, called Spoiler
Alert. He presents as well.
Yeah, so he's a jack of all trades.
He's a man of many talents.
Come on in, grab a microphone, sir.
You're all right.
How are you?
I'm really fresh and I'm really awake.
Fuck
and
you. Suck all the dicks.
Seriously. Oh, you should God. Stop. That's quite homophobic, that suck all
no,
the dicks thing.
I'm just saying they're severed. In a bag, loose.
Yeah, and that's not homophobic.
All right, well, then what would I prefer?
Go fuck yourself. What's wrong with that?
What's plenty of things when you think. Look, the point is we've got Adam here now. All right, so hello. Let's talk to Adam. Adam, hello.
How are you?
What time did you wake up this morning to get here?
5 o'clock.
Oh, we were just
that's
going mad.
That's still pretty early. I mean, yeah. That's pretty painful.
I was lying on the floor next door, desperately trying to sleep and getting none of it. So
I'm actually really, really pissed off, though.
Why?
Because while I was asleep, who was in this building? Who was standing exactly where I'm standing right
Gillian
now?
Anderson.
Mrs. Gillian Anderson, yes. We grabbed her on the way out and we said, come
and
in
then
here
we
and give us a talk.
We got bollocked for it.
We didn't so much get bollocked. We were told that the etiquette of how we arranged her to arrive was unorthodox.
Well, she agreed, didn't she?
Yeah.
So what's the problem?
It's not like you stuck a bag over her head and then ushered in.
If I'd stuck a bag over her, I wouldn't have brought her in here. I'd taken her home.
She was here for a couple of minutes. She didn't seem to mind.
No, she seemed fine. We let her go and it was all jolly and good. People.
You're going to get sued.
What? Because I said nothing?
You had an argument with Gillian Anderson.
I didn't have an argument with Gillian Anderson.
Why did you have an argument about Gillian
Anderson? No one did. He's projecting these weird, sick fantasies he has.
She told you off, though, didn't she?
For speaking too fast.
Speaking too fast.
Yeah, well, I'm not classically trained, dear.
Yeah. At least you didn't say that.
Yeah, I hate Gillian Anderson now.
No.
She put me
lovely.
Right off her.
She was absolutely lovely.
Yeah, she was.
And she's the biggest guest, most famous person we're going to have ever.
Ever in the world.
In our show.
In ever. The whole wide world.
In the studio ever.
Yeah. Oh, we've had great guests. We've had Tom Tuck come in. We've had that American wrestler, Ethan, or EC3.
We had Rufus Hound.
Mm. Oh, yeah. He popped in. I think he's going to come back later because he's been, you know, he's going to maybe do another event later on. He's going to come back and people are hashtagging what he should do.
Is he not going to smash eggs on his...
No, he's not doing that now.
His wife said he was not allowed to do anything to his genitals, so the hashtag for him is not the balls, which I think is beautiful. So, you know, you do geeky stuff with Claire, so...
Yeah.
Where do you stand on Harrison Ford returning to Blade Runner?
Why are they milking this?
Yeah.
You've answered your own question. Milking it. It's a brand... They can justify it by saying the fans want it. We've got a good story, original, unique, new story
tent
to tell.
Pole. It's another tent pole, isn't it? Everything's a fucking tent pole.
No new ideas are worth sacrificing money
Let's
on.
Let's not have a new idea. Let's get some guy who's completely 20 years older.
Yeah.
What's, you know what? There's some replicants in his fucking care home. Do you know what I mean?
To be honest, if that's the plot... Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not trying to be ageist or anything, but it's just a totally different person. It's like...
Meals on Wheels what? Runner. That's it.
AI meets OAP.
Yeah. Help the aged.
Good. No, that's good.
Runner.
Adam's on form.
Of course he is. He woke up a few hours ago and he's fresh as a daisy. We're here. Mouth farting.
No. You started the mouth farts way early, mate.
Yeah,
as soon as you got behind the mic.
Basically. 8:05, yeah.
Yeah, Paul said some mixed up shit tonight.
Oh, go on, regale them with my faux pas.
Oh, I wrote them down. Just give me a minute, cover.
All right, I'll give you a cover. All right, what would you like the cover to look like?
Well, we can just sit here and just chat a bit.
There you go, there you go, thanks. So, he said, my ignorance proved me wrong. It seems less funny now. He said... He said, we need to be on our balls.
What?
He meant to say we need to be on our tips of our toes or something, but he said we need to be on our balls.
The balls of his feet.
Yeah.
Right, but...
That's what I was...
He also said, noising makes food nicings.
I don't even know the context of that anymore. It's just one blur.
Noising makes food nicings.
Isn't it fun making fun of me?
There's always room in your pocket for a few coins. That's what you said. Trying to get people to give coins and donate.
Yeah,
right.
Look.
Is there like not a tip jar that we get guests just a couple of...
I don't want to push our luck at this point. If they're coming along free of their time and effort and I'm saying, yeah, before you leave, mate, put a couple of quid in there or you're not getting out.
Put some money in the bucket. I need a fag.
Yes. That's what I was getting at. Should we take a musical break and come back?
Is it half past?
Yes, it's half past.
Oh, so let's do it. Adam, are you going to join us after the break?
Yeah,
for
go
a few
for
more
it.
Minutes?
Go for it.
He doesn't have much of a choice now. He's in it.
I'm here till about 4 o'clock.
Brilliant.
Oh, and then you get to go home to your lovely warm house.
Yeah, my comfortable beds. And I get to play my PlayStation.
Oh, God.
And I get to watch some films. And I'm just like, oh, this will be such a good little evening I have planned.
Paul, I'm really starting to flag now.
Do you want to have a nap? You can have your nap now if you
want. I'm not. If I have a nap, I'll never wake up.
That's dark.
The Geekatorium 27-Hour Podcast Challenge on FUBAR Radio.
Paul and Eli, carrying on with our 27-hour podcast challenge. Please donate. Please give us money all this pain to be worth something.
Please, I'm going to go mad. Please,
you might go mad.
Some money. Have we got any money? Has it gone up at all?
I haven't opened the page. I'll check it out later. But
mate,
for now,
we need to give these people some love, these good people.
I'll give them love. It's a weird situation right now.
What do you mean it's a weird situation? This was your idea.
It's all my idea. I completely take full responsibility for any madness or mental illness.
I'm sick of that jingle now.
You don't even listen to it.
And also these fucking records you keep playing. How was that? That was just Uptime Girl by Billy Joel.
That's a great example of a bad comic relief single.
How was that a comic relief single?
Because it was released for comic relief.
It was Uptown Girl by Billy Joel.
Yeah, there was no comedian in it. I mean, I think the pop video had a few stand-ups.
It's just exactly the same song, isn't
it? Yeah, a few stand-ups going, look at us.
They didn't even bother making a new song.
No, I know.
Or a different version of that song.
No.
It's just the same song.
It's the exact same song.
That's not good, is it?
No. So, donate to my.rednoseday.com/sponsor/geekatorium.
Here comes your
27
tea,
podcast. Oh, good old cup of British tea.
Lovely cup of proper tea.
There we go.
Thank you, sir. Thank you very much. Oh, love tea.
We're joined by Adam again.
Hello. Yeah.
Fresh. Mr. Fresh.
Mr. Fresh Groovy Man.
Mr. Slipwell.
Slipwell.
Oh, yeah. That's not worth writing down, is it, Paul?
No one wants to write down your Gannonisms. Everyone's hanging on the edge of their seat wondering what fucking mouth mess I'm going to say next.
Mate, that other producer's not looking very well at all.
Which one? Jack. He's tired, he just got here, that's all. He's still waking up.
He's got the sniffles.
Oh, is he poorly?
Yeah, he's literally on death's door.
Oh, that's very kind of you to come in.
I know.
And guilt trip us into making
infect us with your flu.
Infect us with your love.
I can see a lady.
Yeah.
Just a little report on what's happening outside the studio. There's a whole world out there.
The sun's come up.
The sun has come up and it's become visible.
Yeah, it's no longer dark times.
There's a lady with a plastic bag.
Yeah.
She's waiting for the bus. The bus that comes down here.
This is the most boring Talking Heads episode.
And she's got a plastic bag. It's got Next written on it. What number bus is that? Do you know, Adam?
No, I don't actually know what number bus.
You don't get the bus from here?
No, I get the tube.
Down Cali Road tube station.
Yeah, that's it.
If you just cover for me, Paul, I'm going to lean forward and have a look at what number bus that is.
I think it's the 393. That's my opinion.
I've
got nothing to base that on.
You're right. It is the 393.
Well done, Paul.
I think this is the most riveting part of the show so far.
Mate, you weren't... Seriously, it's been worse. It really has.
Yeah, right.
When you were talking about the TV programme 24 incessantly for about 45 minutes...
We had a lot of people talking about it with interest.
That was
interesting.
That was beyond boring.
For you?
For anyone?
For you! We were talking about the nuances of 24 and the stuff... and things. So you know the whole thing about talking probs having tough time speaky tough. We're doing that.
So, right. Are the words just not jumbling in your mouth in the right order? So
falling into place. Yeah. In the right
way. My brain is saying, yes, you have to talk, but I don't want you to. And I'd rather you didn't. And in fact, does it really matter now if I say anything?
Well, it kind of does.
Yeah. Right.
Because you've still got another, 17 hours left?
Another day. Yeah, left, basically.
You're broadcasting.
Always broadcasting. I'll tell you what. Leonard Nimoy, death, obviously we've covered that, but there's a quote here this morning from President Obama about the death, and this is what he says. Long before being nerdy was cool, there was Leonard Nimoy.
Okay.
And that's it. That's all he says.
I mean, you know. There's loads of tributes. Should we have a look at some of the tributes
some
people
have
said? All right, okay, so...
Because that really shocked me this morning when I saw that. I was just, what?
He was...
Because I know he went in to hospital with ill health.
Yeah.
And then I went to bed, woke up this morning, and I turned on the news and I was just like... Shit.
He was an iconic figure.
He was.
Yeah, one of the... I mean, as I was saying to Sandlin the other day, he was the reason that those Star Trek reboots were legitimised. His presence was enough to give the fan base a nice kind of cuddle and an assurance that this is still proper Star Trek, even though it's not proper Star Trek.
No, it's just light flares and just zooms and...
And characters being completely irrational to suit the needs of the plot in that one
moment.
Yeah,
the worst thing is when she gets in her knickers.
Who?
On the second film, she's like, I'm getting changed. Okay, stop looking at me. I mean, and why are you getting changed?
J.J. Abrams even said...
What's that scene about?
No, that's the thing. J.J. Abrams even said, like, we have no idea why that scene we felt compelled to film. And so they filmed
it. So why did you film it?
Because...
Why did you put it in?
There had to be a scene with a lovely, lovely naked lady in her Grundies going...
Well, you could put it in the plot, at least.
There's just no need to put it in.
She's running away from some aliens and they grab her clothes or something. Not like, I'm getting changed.
Aliens from the planet Primark come down to steal clothes and infiltrate fashion with the sweatshop knockoffs. And she got her clothes stolen.
Not, maybe not that, because that's obviously a load of bollocks that you just made up. But
oh, I'm sorry, did I not watch Into Darkness? Because that was basically a better plot than that film.
Yeah, it wasn't very good. Oh, the 393's here.
Oh, my God, do not give bus reports on this show. That is the worst thing we can do at this point.
But lady with next bag gets on 393 in other news.
Yeah.
In more in travel news, there was a minor disruption this morning on the District Line.
Was there?
Yeah.
Just apparently there was a shooting up the road last night.
Was there?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Ash Frith, who...
helped us out through the early
hours.
He was
very helpful.
Yeah, very helpful.
He can talk, that guy.
Yeah, he can.
He was so eagerly excited to be here and just like, oh, we're doing late night, early morning chat. Oh, I can't wait. Can I go and wait? I'm driving from a gig. I'll be late. I'll call you on the way. It's like, no, just get here safe.
He's not going to go to sleep.
No.
At all. Till this evening.
Why? Oh, because he's got to look after his son. Oh, God. Oh, I don't care. So, NASA have said this as well. R.I.P. Leonard Nimoy. So many of us at NASA are inspired by Star Trek. Boldly go. And then there's a lovely picture here of some NASA people with the shuttle next to it. And there's Leonard Nimoy in his nice 70s white flared trousers and his blue safari suit kind of thing.
Have a look at that. Is it a blue safari suit or is it golden,
really nice.
golden black?
Golden black.
I just don't know.
Come on.
The cones in my eyes have only picked up the blue.
What bullshit was that, though?
It's utter bullshit. What's weird, I was on the bus yesterday and I heard three different conversations. People go, is it blue? Is it black?
No, it gives a shit.
I could not. I saw it on my Facebook feed and thought, I'm not interested in that. Yeah. And I flicked through it, past it.
I saw there was a YouTube video on parodying it. It goes, if you actually look at the dress and you turn up the saturation, you can tell that no one actually gives a fucking shit.
Yeah. The thing is, I'm looking at it thinking, is this going to be one of those screamers where you stare at it for a while and then suddenly, like, the face from The Exorcist pops up?
I hate that feeling.
And the fact it was even on Loose Women yesterday as well.
Really?
Yeah, look, I was sitting there watching Loose Women and I was just thinking, seriously, this is breaking the news.
Why were you watching Loose Women?
I had the day off yesterday.
Which is fair.
Here's
the thing, right? We're struggling for content right now, but they're a professional show. They've been doing it weekly.
Yeah.
They struggle for stuff to say.
It's a ladies' magazine show, so, you know.
I don't watch it because it basically just seems like too much effort to watch harpies wittering
with latent misogyny coming through.
Not latent, my friend. It's all on the surface. No, it's just, I just don't like these shows.
We need some female in here. We haven't had one female guest yet.
That's not true.
Well, hang on.
That's not true, is it?
Who's sitting here?
Gillian.
No.
Oh, apart from Gillian.
Oh, you see, yeah.
And right. Yeah, well, she wasn't. It was a flying.
She may not be a lady, but she's all woman. All right. So Mashable have put this on as well. Leonard Nimoy sent a telegram to JFK in 1962 urging him to rethink nuclear space tests. It says here, the President, the White House, in the name of decency, don't pollute air with bomb. Preserve children's right, breath, clean air. Sandra and Leonard Nimoy, and then his address.
Why are you leaving out words?
That's how it's spelt on the Telegram.
Oh, because you need to save money on a Telegram. Yeah.
And there's a news report here saying, a quote from Leonard Nimoy saying, girls all want to touch the ears.
That is true.
That's probably true, yeah.
But if you were Leonard Nimoy and you'd met this lady and you brought her back and she's like, put the ears on. You'd be like, get out.
It's not like put the ears on. She's like, just let me touch your real ears.
But what? They're prosthetic. They're plastic. Why would anyone get off on touching plastic ears?
It's a different era. Sexual desires were based then. And
did you? Anything. Was that a pun? It wasn't a pun, was it?
No.
It was a good pun, though.
What did I say?
Different era.
Oh, no, I didn't get that. Oh,
I got it immediately. I think Adam did as well.
I did as well. I was just like, what?
Well, there we go.
Well, you're not trying, Paul.
I'm sorry. I am trying. You are trying.
His patience.
Very trying, yes. What's this? Okay, so R.I.P. Real Leonard Nimoy, who fought for equal pay for Michelle Uhuru Nichols. And then there's a thing here that says, Leonard Nimoy or Mr. Spock was always kind of approachable, but a very good man with sound ethics and a sense of morality. How so? When it came to the attentions of the cast, there was always this disparity in pay, in that George and I were getting paid the same, but Michelle was not getting as much. I took it to Leonard and he took it to the front office and they corrected it. So you could say he was the captain then. On that issue, you could say Leonard was the king.
So he was sort of like what Patricia Arquette did at the Oscars the other week.
What did she just say? Fuck's sake, guys.
Well, she went onto stage and she was like saying, she went up and she had this massive big speech about equal pay for women in the industry. Which is fair enough. But I do kind of feel like, you know, before you say that, look at your bank balance first and then compare it to the bank balance of someone who's working in the army.
Yeah.
You know, so you can say equal pay for people that work in Hollywood, but don't...
It's kind of... She's massively rich anyway, isn't she? So, I mean, yeah.
You want to hear what William Shatner said?
Go on.
Fuck him. No, he didn't. He said, I loved him like a brother. We'll all miss his humour, his talent and his capacity for love.
Aww.
Yeah. And there's loads of really nice comments and pictures and people sharing their thoughts and, you know, like Simon Pegg and stuff have said things and such.
He was universally loved, I think.
Yeah, I mean,
it
was a role that, you know, he hated in a while and then grew to love again, and then it became part of the fabric of how he reacted to the real world. And that's why he could send things to JFK or to the NASA and they would take his interest, because he inspired a lot of people.
Hmm.
I mean, the story goes that Michelle Nichols was going to quit Star Trek after the first season because she didn't think it was very good. And Martin Luther King, she was talking to him. And she goes, yeah, I'm thinking of quitting. And he was like, no, don't. You're the only positive black role model
in the whole of American
television. So how about you stay with it? And that inspired her to stay with it. Right up until Star Trek V, when she did a fan dance. You ever see Star Trek V?
Nah.
It's abortive. And there's a scene where they have to cause a distraction. So for whatever reason, they thought it was compelling in the script to write a scene where she... I don't know how old she was at the time, but, you know, let's just say late 50s.
Yeah.
Doing an erotic fan dance.
That
very beautiful woman.
Yeah.
Not that time in her career to do that particular movie. It's like the worst of burlesque.
Here comes misogyny again. So what? You're saying old ladies shouldn't do fan dances?
No, I'm saying that is not appropriate in a Star Trek film. Directed by William Shatner, about a Vulcan related to Spock who goes looking for God.
Is that the Genesis? It's the Genesis
one. No, that's the first one. Because that's what the only good thing to come out of Star Trek V is the one line that Shatner says to God at the end, because he sees God. And this God says, I need your spaceship. And then Shatner goes, what does God need with a starship? Which is a very salient point.
Yeah, what does God need with a starship?
It's obviously not God, is it?
It wasn't God. No, do you know what? That film has just been erased from my memory because I saw it once and I was just like, never again.
Yeah.
It's a poo-poo film.
Yeah, well, it goes by that whole
Talking of poo-poo.
Yeah.
Me need.
Well, then go. No one's stopping you.
No, I'm going to save it up, man.
Don't save it up. It's not like a promise you keep to a friend. It's just
I don't know. It might. The walls of reality might come crashing down.
Once you fall out
of your ass.
Yeah.
All your thoughts are going to be sprayed.
The bottom will fall out of my world, or rather, the world will fall out of my bottom.
Oh, bloody Nora!
That is my French teacher, Trevor Sproston. He told me that joke. I'm glad I've got the chance to pass that on.
All our listeners that they should suffer for your wit
Well, the amount of Red Bull you guys have probably been drinking overnight, it's going to be look like someone's pebble dashed that.
Yeah, I've got Red Bull belly.
I don't want to think
about
it.
I've done a lot of bull.
Yeah.
Have you?
I've talked a lot of bull.
I can imagine there being a lot of bull talk going on tonight.
Well, seriously, and so what... Paul,
yeah.
How are we going to do this?
What?
Get through this.
Well, we're going to just keep on talking. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. We'll keep talking. The guests will come back. We'll get our third wind.
We've got a guest now.
Yeah, well, I know that. Mate, come on.
Adam, have you got anything you could plug?
Apart from my show.
Your show. Let's hear about
that. Okay, should we talk about my show? You've been a guest on my show. Right, so my show is about anything geek. I produce and present it with Claire Lim.
Oh, master of all trades.
She is. She's fucking amazing. Mm.
She's coming in later as well. That's all lovely. So basically, I'm going to let her take over for an hour.
Yeah.
I think that's the best plan. In fact, that's what we should do when Claire turns up.
And she can fucking talk.
Yeah. We might just take our break then, about midday. Fancy that?
If I go, I'll be gone.
You won't be gone. You have very little faith in your body.
Mate, I'm so tired.
I know, but look at all the people next door doing stuff.
And look at Mark Watson. I'm stuck here talking shit with you.
Well, we're going to send you out as a roving reporter later.
Oh, God, that's not going to work. I feel socially inept.
That has no bearing on how tired you are. You are always socially inept.
But sometimes I get foolhardy.
Do you?
Oh, God.
Why? How do you get foolhardy?
Oh, you know, I've had a few drinks, maybe.
Well, yeah, that's why I'm not worried about drinking too much until later. Honestly, the first hour we're here and we're like, oh, we don't want to drink, we want to keep clean. Everyone in the booth next door is just like, wine.
They were smacking it down. They were hammered.
And it was just like, it felt cruel.
I've seen the bottles in there. I'm just like,
they were getting smashed.
It was just ridiculous. And then there was lines of coke being snorted off the window. And I saw one man touch another man. And then I saw a lady kiss a lady. And then I saw an old lady fish a boot out of a canal.
Misogyny, homophobia, latent racism. Everything's coming out now.
It's early. It's not latent. Oh, my God. So, yeah, we've got guests coming up. We've got Basil Brush calling us later. That's exciting, right? Izzy Lawrence is going to be coming over.
That is exciting.
Yeah. We've got Ashens coming up to help us. We've got lots to do. We just need to get through this awkward morning period.
And how much longer is this morning period going to be?
I don't know. Till about 9, I think.
Yeah.
9 a.m. And then it will start kicking off.
All right.
Big school.
Can I play a record next time?
Yeah, I've got one lined up for now, but yeah, later on we can play. And then we can go through some vinyl if you want.
Fucking hell. All right then.
Yeah,
it's good swearing, isn't it?
What?
Well, no, it's not the basis of all.
No, it's quite good swearing.
It's nice to be able to not have to worry about catching our F's and Q's and our P's and C's.
Especially when you're this sleep deprived.
Yeah. I don't know if I said this to you before, but I went next door to have a little nap for half an hour.
Yeah.
Didn't get it.
He did say that. He was just repeating this.
It's all right. 30 minutes of me going, and 5 minutes of me going, oh, that's nice. Oh, I'm awake again. And it was horrible.
Oh.
It was horrible to be sleepy, but not fall asleep.
Yeah.
Oh, I hate that.
Do you ever have them, like, half sleepy things on the train? You know, when you're coming home from a day of work and you just sit on the train and you just like that, you know?
That's really nice sleep, though, that, because you tend to find that that's the sleep that is really comforting. You have that nodding, rocking sensation in the train, and you're all warm, and you're all cuddled up in your own little space, and it's just like, ah.
And then you kind of wake yourself up, and you go, shit, was I snoring?
Yeah, I'm in Morden. That's happened a few times, I can go. There's been many a night bus where I've woken up, and it's like, what postcode is this? What time of man? It's horrible.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, so who's texting you, Eli?
It's my good friend Ben Steiner.
Oh.
Demanding money.
Oh.
Brilliant. It's really G'd me up. Thanks, Ben.
Because you're going over to America to see your family and celebrate your birthday. That's something to look forward to, isn't it?
Yeah.
Think of how hard it is to be me and then see two people I could talk to look at their fucking phones. No, I'm all right. It's all good. I'm loving it, loving it, loving it. I'm loving it like this. Go on.
Right, so. The Geekatorium 27 Hour Podcast Challenge on FUBAR Radio. We should, yeah.
We can break out Trivial Pursuits again and do a three-way Trivial Pursuits. Do you want that?
Okay.
Yeah, we'll see who's the master of the most trivial of Trivial Pursuits. Because we have not just any old Trivial Pursuit, my friend. We have celebrity Trivial Pursuits.
So it is the most trivial of trivialness.
It's the most literal edition of Trivial Pursuits you can imagine. Oh, questions about everything from Katie Price to Harrison Ford to
Kim Kardashian.
That'll do. I don't know how. I bought this years ago and I only really got it because I really like the dice. Look at that lovely dice.
Oh, that's a beautiful dice.
It's a clear plastic dice, but with like sparkles all the way over it.
And the stars are all different colours.
So you can roll the dice and then you ask a question based on that colour.
Oh, that makes a lovely noise as well when you put it on the table.
A nice clack, which Sandling adored.
Yeah?
Sandling, yeah, adored. Because, I don't know, you know when Nick Revel's here and we had Stuart and Ashen.
Yeah.
That's been my favourite part of the show so far, seriously, because we're having a really meaty, nice chat about the state of British satire and comedy and conspiracy theories and wrestling. that was the thing. I mean, I didn't expect Nick to get involved, but he was asking some really good questions for the wrestler.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he was a nice... I don't know if this EC3...
We went to TNA... we got some complimentary tickets when we went to TNA because we had a few of the wrestlers come in.
And it's just regular wrestling. It's not like cage fighting.
No, it's just regular wrestling. And do you know what? I've never been to wrestling before.
Yeah.
It was incredible. It was incredible to watch.
There's a thing about pageantry to it, isn't
yes,
there?
Yes, it is like a violent form of pantomime because everyone is booing, everyone is cheering.
Yeah.
You know, you kind of want the underdog to win, but, you know, obviously the villain's going to have the upper hand in the first act,
yeah,
and then in the second act, he's going to come back and
win
do him over.
So was it well attended?
Yeah.
And the only reason I ask, because I've never seen the same impact that wrestling has in the UK as it does in America, where it's practically a religion. And
yeah.
So I was wondering what you come to, you know, Birmingham NEC, and it's just like four guys and his dog. He'll go, come on, the wrestler! I don't know the name, so that's why I had to say the wrestler. It's pathetic, I know.
No, but yeah, so it was quite packed. It was very,
that's cool.
Very, it was quite packed, and it was.
I guess it's more unique, isn't it?
Pardon?
It's more unique that thing to happen.
Yeah,
over here.
Yeah. It's you don't see. I mean, you obviously get the diehard fans and the ones that are like cheering on for that one particular wrestler and they're
crying at the end. Yeah,
when they don't win,
but, it's all real.
Oh dear,
he was robbed. Would you go again? Would you pay money to go again?
No,
there you go. So the freebies
helped
at all.
It was a good experience, but I mean, my days of wrestling are over. I remember when I was like 14, 15, and
did a lot of wrestling in your youth.
Oh yeah,
I didn't. Was it a school thing?
It was a school thing, and I think
that's proper wrestling.
I think it was the era of when wrestling became big in WWF.
Yeah, late 80s kind of thing, wasn't it? Early 90s.
Yeah. So well, actually, it carried on for some of my friends because.
Generationally, it's all trickled down.
So that age group, and we were just wrestling in the playground.
Oh, right.
It was just like that was it. It was just a bit of fun.
Fighting in the mud.
We all came up with like our own nicknames, moves.
Do you remember your nickname?
I don't. I do. It was Triple A.
All right, that's pretty good. Eli's. What would your wrestling name be if you could have to come up with a wrestling name?
Compact Dynamite.
That's all right. I was going to say the Grumbler.
The little grot boy.
Yeah, but you'd be the underdog that everyone roots for because it's like, you know, little scrappy little fighter. He's the underdog.
What about this?
You don't like him.
Wrong Jeremy.
Oh.
Wrong Jeremy.
What would your final move be?
Taking my cock out. No?
That would just like, just stop the backstage.
And then what?
Like, no.
And then what? There's a man lying
on one. As soon as I take my cock out, I've won.
That's also true for anything other than wrestling. I seem to remember. It's like, yeah, I've got this sorted. I dangle, therefore I am victorious.
No, in all seriousness, I'd
get your cock out. Oh, bless you. Well, we're coming up to 8 o'clock, so what we're going to do at 8 o'clock is throw you another tune to enjoy. I thought we'd go contemporary because we've been playing quite a lot of random old. I've got a load of comedy songs on here.
Like, oh, cool.
We played Morecambe and Wise and Monty Python, all sorts. So we're trying to keep the comedy song theme going, but I think this time of day we need something that goes,
You need something to pick you up and...
And I know for a fact that he's going to love this next song, so we can't really go wrong with it.
Am I?
Yeah, mate, you're going to love it.
All right.
Yeah, you're going to get a little bit of a dance on. We'll have a bit of a dance on.
I'm
going
to get a dance on. I might go for a shit.
Presents the Geekatorium 27-hour podcast challenge, raising money for comic relief. Donate now by going to my.rednoseday.com/sponsor/Geekatorium27podcast. Fubar and Geekatorium, doing something stupid for a very good cause. Do 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 do